And that's our vision around the AI connected expert, where, you know, the worker will have some form of advanced AR device that they'll be wearing when they're working. And, you know, just like with in Iron Man, where Jarvis is kind of like the mentor or the expert that's coming along for the ride. That's sort of where we see in terms of the worker's experience and the workforce experience, that's kind of where we see this ultimately going.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is the Digital Supply Chain Podcast, the number one podcast focusing on the digitization of supply chain. And I'm your host, Global Vice President at SAP, Tom Raftery. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Digital Supply Chain Podcast. My name is Tom Raftery with SAP, and with me on the show today, I have my special guest, John. John, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me. Hi, folks. My name is John Newman. I'm the VP Product Management at Librestream Technologies, responsible for product strategy, roadmap, and execution. Librestream is a company that is the leader in remote expert solutions globally. And so we sell to the largest sort of defense, oil and gas, test inspection companies around the world in order to allow for their remote inspection and remote expert capabilities.
Okay, so for people who might be unaware, John, what's remote expert?
So remote expert is the ability for companies that have workforce in locations that may be more challenging and more difficult to communicate in, so sort of non-office environments. So it could be things like military bases, oil rigs, ports, remote farms, and things like that. And it's allowing people out in these remote locations to be able to talk to people in other facilities, maybe in head office or other parts of the supply chain, to be able to communicate with them to get guidance and expert advice in terms of what they may be able to do or what they want to do, or to perform things like inspections and have supervision, or to be able to perform maintenance tasks and have more senior folks kind of watching and talking them along. So it's allowing for these more industrial use cases and allowing them to happen in challenging environments where maybe bandwidth is not as strong, or maybe there's other security or more harsh sort of networking needs.
Okay, so my health insurance company this year has rolled out a new facility on their app on the phone where I can get a teleconsultation with a doctor. Just press a button and bang, up it comes a doctor on screen and I can have a consultation with them. Is, at its most basic level, that the kind of thing you're talking about?
Yes, exactly. So the medical consultation is definitely one usage of this, you know, remote expert capability, and that's something that we do. But our sort of particular focus and our particular leadership expertise is in these more challenging environments. So defense companies talking to militaries around the world in remote locations, or oil and gas folks communicating with their employees on rigs, you know, inspection folks like that. So it's more the rugged environments that we specialize in and we're the leaders in. But yes, the medical consult is one example of a remote expert use case.
Okay. And I mean, I can see how technology is enabling this, because we get devices which have better connectivity, better processors, better cameras, etc. So, yeah, the technology has improved to allow this to happen. But what about the demand? What's the demand for it like?
So the demand for the remote expert capability we're seeing just increasing over time. I mean, Librestream has been doing this and being the leader for the last 15 plus years and invented the remote expert category. And so we've seen the drive for this increase more and more, especially as, customers in all the verticals that we sell to go along their digital transformation journey and look to help to digitize and make more efficient how their workforces interact and engage. And so we've just seen an acceleration of this, and especially actually in the last year or so with the global pandemic and people not being able to get on a plane to do an inspection of a salmon farm in Norway. Where their supply chain is, or inspecting cargo in a port in Southeast Asia, or flying, getting on a plane to fix military or aircraft installations in the Middle East. So the restriction on travel has only accelerated this digital transformation. and also the focus on sort of the carbon footprint and how travel impacts that. That's also something that folks are way more sensitive to as well. So all these things, in addition to safety and other aspects that have always been true, are really helping drive this digital transformation within these workforces, and driving the remote expert use case as well.
Okay, and I can imagine as well, for example, things like the scaling of knowledge being something as well that would drive it, because now one expert sitting at their desk at HQ, for example, can suddenly be interacting with people in multiple locations at the same time, rather than having to your point, get on a plane, go there, spend a few days there, come back, get on another plane, go to the next place. It seems a far more efficient use of knowledge and resources.
Absolutely. So, I mean, the example you talk about where it's more efficient for the human expert that may be interacting with people remotely in these far off locales, that's definitely one aspect of this. And then also as we look forward to where this is going and how this starts to converge with advanced technologies such as artificial intelligence and augmented reality. And then also with the sort of the global need of, the older workforce aging out and not having access to these human experts given the sort of global worker shortage that's projected to be around 85 million by 2030. So that broader trend is driving a need to, we're connecting, human experts with human workers today. But what we're trying to do now, because of this expert shortage that's happening, is trying to start to capture this expertise that's been shared within the on-site platform, capture it, and then analyze it, and using advanced technologies like artificial intelligence, be able to then surface that in a timely fashion automatically to these workers, so they require less and less interaction with a human expert, and we can more and more rely on providing them with this expertise that we've captured through the on-site platform, and then being able to surface it to the worker in ways that make sense using augmented reality to allow them to put this expertise that's being captured, to be able to put it in front of their field of view and be able to allow them to have access to what they need and all the data and insights they need as they're going about the task, be it like a standard maintenance task or a repair or some sort of inspection, and be able to do this in a safe way to allow the use of AR wearables so that they can be hands-free, or they can be interacting via voice so that they can still use the tools they need, still have access to that timely information, not necessarily using a human expert.
Okay, so just to clarify there, because you gave me a very big answer to a very small question, I just want to try and break it out a little bit. So the shortage of expertise, I gather, is happening because a lot of experts are hitting retirement age. Is that correct? And they're retiring out of the system, or is there some other reason for the lack of expertise, or is there a greater requirement for expertise that just isn't bubbling up enough, or how does that break out?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I think I mentioned that the global worker shortage is projected to be about 85 million by 2030. And the statistics we're seeing is that the baby boomers are retiring from all sectors at a rate of about 10,000 a day in the US alone, for example. And so what you're seeing is that generation that typically tended to stay at a job for 20, 30 years, which developed a vast amount of expertise in something, they're dramatically aging out of the workforce. And the people that are coming in that need to do the same jobs and fill their shoes, they don't have that same tenure and years of experience under their belt. So there's this huge skills shortfall that's not going to be met by experienced workers coming in, and that's where we see a huge opportunity for technology to pick up some of this knowledge gap.
Okay, and you referred to then the two technologies, you referred to AI and AR, and if I understood it correctly, what you're doing with the AI is you're taking a lot of the knowledge that has been gleaned over the years from the experts, and you have that in some kind of back-end system, and then when people come in with queries, the queries go through the AI can test or can take from that kind of knowledge base at the back end and then suggest answers. Is that more or less what it is?
Yeah, absolutely. So at a high level, what we're doing is, because on-site today is the conduit for these remote expert sessions and bringing in as well additional information from IoT sources, for example, or other sensory information, or even pulling in training material and manuals from sources that all these companies have, because we are that central point today and we're bringing in, then we have the ability to sort of analyze and collate this, you know, using artificial intelligence to extract the kind of the meaningful aspects from all these different disparate sources. And then, you know, using augmented reality devices or other devices to phone, tablet and the like, we are able to sort of understand the context of where the worker is and understand the context of what they're in front of and what they're doing. And we can then, again, use artificial intelligence to figure out what we should be surfacing for that worker at that given time. So being able to recognize what equipment they're standing in front of, being able to pull in all historical information about that piece of equipment, be able to see what task they're doing and potentially offer up steps to work through or just in time training information that they may require. And using the augmented reality side of things to do this in a way that's intuitive and safe for the worker, because they'll be typically in difficult or dangerous situations where they'll have, like, in their field of view, there'll be a lot of machinery. They'll have one or two hands that they'll need to use for tooling or holding onto something and the like. And so augmented reality is the way we serve this information in a way that's intuitive for the worker. And AI is how we extract and figure out then what to serve that worker.
Okay, very good. Now, my daily interaction with AR happens when I get into my car, because my car has a heads-up display in the front of it, which I absolutely love. It is so awesome. It's one of my favorite things about a car, about my car. But it's a very limited set of data. It, you know, gives me navigation, gives me speed, road signs, all that kind of thing. And that's by design, because you don't want to be cluttering up, to your point, you know, with information that, you know, doesn't need to be there. In terms of the kind of AR that you're feeding to people who are using your system, you mentioned a number of devices and different information sets that are being served up. First of all, I guess in terms of the devices, is it a customized device, or can it be any device? Is it up to the customer to provide the device? Is it kind of Microsoft HoloLens devices? Is it iPads? Is it, you know, what's the hardware component? And then how do you decide what's the appropriate information to display at any point?
Yeah, that's a great question. So what we find with our customers is they're not looking for one particular device. They're looking for a portfolio of devices to support these experiences on, because they will provide different workers different tools in order to do the job. And so, you know, we work on the widest range of devices. So, you know, as I was saying, everything from, you know, iPhone, Android phone, all the way up to the more advanced augmented reality wearables, and, you know, the high end at the moment being the Microsoft HoloLens application. So what we find is a customer will choose to have a portfolio of devices that they'll want to use on-site on from from that selection. And it's, you know, it's imperative for our customers that we provide the same consistent on-site experience across a broad range of these devices, so they can pick and choose, also have access to that same shared information. So no matter what device they log into, they have access to all that on-site information. And then what we do is we obviously tailor the on-site experience so it's familiar across everything, but to maximize the particular platform it's on. So what you'll see on a phone will be, you know, more limited compared with what you'd see on an advanced AR platform like the HoloLens 2, which would be a much more advanced, much more immersive AR platform. And you know, we see the HoloLens 2 as a great example of showcasing where we see this going. And, you know, the example we always talk about, you mentioned about your car, you know, we always look to, the Iron Man, the heads up display in Iron Man and Jarvis. We see, I mean, that's kind of the, you know, we can talk about all the technologies, but just to visualize in people's minds, that's kind of essentially where we see this all going, is that, and that's our vision around the AI connected expert, where, you know, the worker will have some form of advanced AR device that they'll be wearing when they're working. And, you know, just like with in Iron Man, where Jarvis is kind of like your the mentor or the expert that's coming along for the ride. That's sort of where we see in terms of the workers' experience and the workforce experience, that's kind of where we see this ultimately going. So it's always helpful, we find, to give that image in people's heads of what we think the worker will ultimately have. And then it's a journey to, one, to collect all that knowledge on the back end and be able to do that in a way that's more automatic and it's not a huge human endeavor, and then to serve it in a way that's contextual and timely for what the worker is trying to do.
Interesting. I get this kind of picture in my mind's eye, not just of Jarvis, but then I also think, if I think back a number of centuries, to the idea of a master and an apprentice, and an apprentice working away with a master looking over his or her shoulder, typically his, because I'm talking a couple of centuries ago. But you know what I mean? Is that kind of another way of putting it? Is that a good analogy as well?
Yeah, that's actually an excellent one. I mean, we always use the analogy of, the old time expert, like old Bill, the 30, 40 year veteran. And when we talk to our customers, every customer has an old Bill where they can go in, and basically just listen to the sound of an engine or machine, or just put their hand on it. I'm feeling the vibration, and their expertise has gone to such a level that they can just do that. And all of our customers have someone like that. And so it's exactly that. It's trying to capture, old Bill's wisdom and expertise, digitize it so it lives forever. And then, the analogy you use of the master with the apprentice, having the virtual master that's basically, an old Bill that's, where that wisdom lives forever and can then continue to mentor, younger and less experienced workers indefinitely. So that's kind of the end game and how we see this evolving. And obviously we're taking steps on the knowledge capture side. And that's what the on-site knowledge network vision is around. And then on the sharing with the worker side, the AI connected expert vision.
Okay. And how far away from that vision are we, do you think?
So, I mean, about a year and a half ago is when we put out our AI connected expert vision to kind of showcase, the Iron Man scenario, if you will. And so we, in terms of executing that vision, then we have sort of taken steps to add the initial foundation for that. So some of the key foundational tenets, that we've added to on-site to do that, one is computer vision. So we can kind of see what the worker is seeing and identify that. The other part is around natural language processing. So we can hear and communicate with the worker and start to capture that expertise. The other part is around tying in with the IoT or digital twin systems that our customers have. So we can start to bring in that raw data and visualize that. And then the last key piece is around the advanced augmented reality. So providing support for the HoloLens 2 and the other ones that come out, so we can have that true heads-up display AR experience. And so those initial building blocks we actually have in the on-site platform at the moment, and we put them in as foundational pillars. And then what we are doing is, as we progress along this multi-year journey around the knowledge network and the AI connected expert, then we are building capabilities that solve specific customer business needs and challenges now, but on a journey to getting to this ultimate state. So we think over the coming years we will start to get closer and closer to the vision that I outlined, and probably in 5-10 years we'll be getting close to that that Iron Man experience that has all the information automatically collected, analyzed, and can be surfaced to the workforce.
Superb. And I mean, you've mentioned customers a few times. Have you any good customer examples you can talk to?
So the customers that we find are sort of really pushing the envelope in terms of some of the advanced augmented reality and some of the advanced artificial intelligence usage. We find it's a lot of the aerospace and defense customers that are really pushing the envelope here, and which totally makes sense, because some of these new devices are quite expensive, and some of these technologies are expensive to implement as well. But for the defense and aerospace folks, obviously their products that they're working on are like aircraft, missiles, spaceships, where the cost of an error can be millions or tens of millions of dollars. So
and lives.
The need, and lives as well. Exactly. So we find those customers tend to be on the leading edge of these things, just because the products they're working on are a lot more valuable, and therefore they want to invest as much as they can to ensure mistakes aren't made, ensure that their workforce, which needs to be highly skilled to work on these things, has access to everything that they need. And so we find these folks tend to be at their at the cutting edge of the adoption of this advanced technology and investing in these advanced use cases.
Nice. John, we're coming to the end of the podcast now. Is there anything that I've not asked that you wish I had, or is there any topic we've not touched on that you think it's important for people to be aware of?
No, I think that covers about everything, Tom. I mean, it's as you can tell, it's an exciting time. The transformation that the workforce is going through at large, and the challenges they have, and it's a perfect intersection of, you know, tremendous opportunity from the business standpoint, and the maturity of some of these key technologies in augmented reality and artificial intelligence to really solve some of these large challenges that are, you know, some of the big problems that we're facing today with the workforce.
Okay, great. If people want to know more about yourself, John, or about LibreStream, or about any of the topics we discussed today, where should I direct them?
So you can find us on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. And also, we have access to a WBR report that we have around AR and the field service industry that also touches on more of these themes as well. And I believe your listeners can access the full report via the link next to this podcast.
Cool. I'll include that link in the show notes. So yeah, so people have access to it. Great. John, that's been fantastic. Thanks a million for coming on the podcast today.
Great. Thanks for having me, Tom.
Okay. We've come to the end of the show. Thanks everyone for listening. If you'd like to know more about digital supply chains, head on over to sap.com/digital supply chain or simply drop me an email to tom.raftery@sap.com. If you like the show, please don't forget to subscribe to it in your podcast application of choice to get new episodes as soon as they're published. Also, please don't forget to rate and review the podcast. It really does help new people to find the show. Thanks. Catch you all next time.